Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Lady of the lake.
Lady of the river. Lady of the river.
And the river.
I was not ready for a whole pageant. But okay, sure. She's not ready, but she's always prepared.
She stays ready, honey. Especially the pageant her. Pageant Patty reporting for duty, darling.
Definitely gonna secure me the crown. Tarn booty hole and all.
Okay, there's a question round.
Right.
There will be a question round.
So, the question is, how do you feel about being so short?
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Happy Labor Day. I hope you're all enjoying your holiday weekend. We're recapping this week's Real Housewives of Potomac on the show today. The ladies are still at Monique's Lake House. And to break down the episode, I have a very exciting guest. Her name is Gabourey Sidibe, who you might remember from Precious, from Difficult People on Hulu, from The Big C on Showtime. She's also got a new movie out called Antebellum. It actually comes out September 18th on demand with Janelle Monáe. She's got a great book called This Is Just My Face, which I read over the weekend. It's fantastic. So I'm going to play my chat with Gabourey in just a second. Before I do, I want to say please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. If you want any of the Everything Iconic merch, go to everythingiconic.store. We have t-shirts, we have wine glasses, Queen Icon Legend merch, all sorts of stuff at everythingiconic.store. Also, if you want to watch my interview with Gabourey, you can see it at youtube.com/Danny Pellegrino and the number one. It's a new YouTube channel. We did our interview over Zoom, so you can see the whole thing over there, youtube.com/Danny Pellegrino1. Like, subscribe, comment. We really break down the entire episode of Potomac, and then we talk a little bit about her career too. So it was such a delight chatting with her. Also, if you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you click become a patron, you could donate $4 or more per month, and you get access to the bonus episodes. I'm currently recapping Sex and the City, the series from the beginning. There's 3 recaps up over there now. So more importantly, the money just helps to support the show. So thank you to everyone who's over there. I hope you enjoy. I'm doing one bonus a month. So with all of that said, I want to play my chat with Gabourey. Gabby Sidibe. She's truly a queen, an icon, and a legend. And I hope you guys enjoy our chat as much as I did. She was just so fun to talk to. And please enjoy. Bye-bye. Gabby, first of all, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm so excited. I have an Academy Award nominee on the show, which is huge. I'm just so excited to talk to you. I'm such a huge fan of your work, and I just read your book.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for reading my book.
It's fantastic. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other career stuff, but I want to jump in to Housewives. So,
okay, the important
But where do you stand with the Housewives? Have you watched all the franchises? Do you just watch Potomac? What do you watch?
I watch quite a few. I do not watch every one of them. I don't give a, I like don't care what happens in the OC or New York.
Wow.
I do not care. I didn't really care about what was going on in Miami either, but I watch Beverly Hills. I watch Potomac and Atlanta. And New Jersey, even though New Jersey's sort of getting a... Although, like, no, you know what? There's still good stuff in Jersey. Yeah,
yeah, we got Margaret over there.
Yeah, yeah. I really like her.
I do, too.
And her mom.
I do, too. Yeah, her mom's crazy. I feel like they're always in a robe, which I appreciate.
Always a caftan or something. Yeah, relaxing. I like them a lot.
So with Potomac, do you like the addition of Wendy? How are you feeling about her so far?
I really like Wendy. I understand Wendy. I believe Wendy's Nigerian. And so is her husband. And they have a very Nigerian family. And I'm Senegalese. And so I understand West Africa, West Africans, and sort of children of, like, you know, like the right. Americanized children of West Africans. And I get her. She's like extremely accomplished. She's got a billion degrees, as, you know, Nigerians do. She's a professor. She's ready to read a bitch at any second. She's really passionate and will not take disrespect, even though, like, I think her last, like, fight was, like, kind of a lot. But, like, I'm like, oh, yes, I understand this. Everybody thought she was doing too much, but I was like, no, I understand. I get her.
I also liked how she just hopped in the mix right away, because sometimes, like, the new housewives, it's like they sort of don't pop off until the end. And so I was just excited that Wendy was, like, willing to go there right off the bat. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I think newer housewives, and, like, I say this as someone who, like, is not, like, and I'm not any of these people at all, and I guess I can't pretend to know what they're thinking, but it feels like the new housewives are usually pretty timid and want to be liked and want to make sure that they're in the A group and want to make sure that they're, like, you know, that they're, you know, being, I guess, inclusive or being included, rather. And Wendy doesn't seem to care about that. Right. At all.
right.
Yeah.
What do you make of our other new housewife, Monique's Bird? What?
I love T'Challa so much. I cannot name any of her children, but T'Challa, I love him so much. I also, like, enjoy her weird, like, it's like cat lady meets bird. Like, she's got a real cat lady vibe with her bird. The fact that it goes everywhere with her and it sits on her shoulders and she forces all of her friends to hang out with that goddamn bird. That is the funniest thing in the world. And he's also really pretty.
He's a beautiful bird. And I love when they subtitle the bird. When they, this episode, when they said, T'Challa was saying, "You trick." It was just, like, so funny that I just imagine those editors, like, behind the editing bay. Just subtitling the bird.
Yeah, I would love that job. I would do that. I would love to subtitle the bird and pretend I know exactly what it's talking about. And also, I believe it. I believe that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, that bird was having none of Wendy when she was trying to talk and, like, was letting her know. Like, the bird is somehow hazing Wendy, which I love.
Right. Right. And I mean, honestly, I agree with you. Like, I thought, the first time we saw, like, the subtitle of the bird, I was like, oh, yeah, that bird legitimately said that. I was like, that's his feelings. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so this week on the show, we open with that Ashley-Wendy fight. I was really loving when Candace was just singing during the fight when they were trying to argue. And she was doing some musical work, and I appreciate that.
Candace will never turn down a chance to show these bitches that she has vocals, okay? Like, it was, she really was singing through it, which was an interesting choice. And then she sings in kind of a lot of the episodes. I wonder if she's going to get, like, a, you know, the ring didn't mean a thing / you know, what was on display is that Melissa Gorga? Yeah,
right.
Like, maybe Candace should be the first breakout on Potomac to have a single.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble here, but Ashley actually came out with a song already about coffee. Oh, did you ever hear this?
Right. The coffee one, and it was like, an ode to, like, interracial dating. Yes, like, I believe.
Unclear. I don't know.
Like, it was about interracial dating. Yeah, you're right. My mistake. Ashley did it first.
I just remember when Ashley was singing at, it was like a gay pride parade or something that none of the women wanted to be at. I don't even remember exactly what that event was, but it was great.
It was a pride parade, wasn't it?
I think so. But it seemed, I don't know, what I'm remembering in my head, it was like no one was at that pride parade or something.
I mean,
I'm not sure.
Go to a pride parade in Potomac? Is that where it was? Like,
probably.
Probably. Like, what's the pride parade look? And Potomac is, like small, isn't it? Like, isn't it a small place? It's like,
I mean, I've never been. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't even know if they all live there. I think, you know, Karen just moved to Potomac, but she hadn't lived there for a while.
Right. She lived there and then outside, and now she's back again, I guess. I feel like Potomac is tiny. I feel like it's real small.
Can we talk about Karen for a second? Sure. I just love her, and I just needed to get that off my chest.
Is that your favorite?
She's my favorite. Yeah, who's your favorite?
It's actually kind of hard with Potomac.
I love that, by the way. I love you keep calling it Potomac. Isn't it Potomac? Am I saying it wrong?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I'm in public school. I have no idea what it is.
It is what it is. It's what we call it.
Is it Potomac?
I thought it was Potomac, yeah. I'm rethinking everything.
It feels weird in my mouth. I feel like Potomac. Feels better to me whether it actually is Potomac or Potomac.
Gabby, you were nominated for Academy Award. You could call it whatever the fuck you want.
Okay. Yes. I like that. Yeah. Yes. So, Potomac, mama, ma'am. So, I like Monique, even though I feel like things are going to change. I feel like as the season goes on, but I'm right on her side right now. I like Karen because Karen is so shady. And I really like Giselle just because Giselle is 100% Giselle. Like she's kind of always on and always stirring up some mess and giving
always people,
like she'll tell what somebody said that was shady, but then she adds her own shade on top of it. Mm-hmm. Like a little garlic or something and a chef kiss. I really like her the most. It's hard to choose.
You know, every time Giselle stirs the pot a little bit, it always, even though I know she's going to be stirring the pot, it seems to come out of nowhere. On this week when they were doing that pageant thing, the pageant off between Ashley and Candace, and Giselle was like, okay, we're going to do a question answer. How does it feel to be short? I was like, woo, I did not see that coming.
Well, you can tell the thing about Giselle's shade is that I don't think it really needs to come from anywhere. It's probably just things that she thinks about people and she finds the opportunity to say the thing that she has always thought. And she's just counting and waiting for opportunities. And that was that.
Right. She's going to do what she's got to do. Even last week, she said something at the dinner table. She's like, is that why you got a nose job, Candace? And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Where did that come from?
That was, she could not wait to ask. She's probably been waiting for 2 seasons to ask about that nose job. It's she just like, I think she has a shady pocket, on her body that she just pulls things out of. And honestly, I stan.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm sort of turning on her a little bit this season, but I do appreciate her antics. I think we need her on the show.
I like her. I think it's interesting that she's now back with her ex-husband. That's a really interesting. That's really interesting. And her daughters don't seem to be a gigantic fan of that, which I understand. Sometimes it's okay, if this is the new way of life where you guys are not together, then that's just what it is. And y'all are coming back together and you're turning everything upside down. I already just got used to this thing. What is this new thing?
And I worry about it too, because I worry for Giselle. I don't want this guy to screw her over again. I don't know. I worry about it. I don't trust men, to be honest.
Yeah, men are
trash.
Men are trash. Yeah, I mean, right. the bar for men is, buried in the ground.
Ain't that the truth? It's so awful. Yeah, I was looking on Twitter and E had tweeted find you a man that could do both, and it was two pictures of Channing Tatum. One he was in the shower, and one he was reading a book. And I was like, wow. All we're looking for now is just a man who can read and shower. That was wow.
Meanwhile, I guess if you're a woman, you have to have a PhD, but also you have to be a squirter, and you have to teeny tiny waist, but a gigantic set of lips and a tongue that can tie a cherry stem into a knot, but also be a virgin.
Disgusting. My boyfriend and I, we were watching this Netflix documentary series. I'm not even going to say what it was. I had never even heard of it before, so I don't know if it's a big thing. But the guy who was hosting it and going around town, he was a straight guy, and he looked so disheveled. And I was just getting pissed because I was thinking, a woman would have to have full makeup on and be so much more put together for this. And this guy can come on screen and get this. I don't know if he was a host or a producer or something, but it was just pissing me off. I was a woman they'd have to go through so much work for this to look presentable on camera. And he looked like he literally just fucking rolled out of bed, and it was just pissing me off.
Do you remember Ed Sheeran performing with Beyonce at, like, was it the Grammys or something? And he's, like, literally in a t-shirt and jeans, and she's in a pink taffeta-ass, like, thing.
I know. And Beyonce should never have to perform with someone like that. Anyway.
Beautiful song, though. I do like that song.
I do. Perfect, right? Is that the one you're talking about? Perfect?
Yeah.
We got to talk about the editing effects on this show. So they're really, first of all, playing with space and time as if we're watching an episode of Lost. They kept, like, it was like 12 hours earlier, 12 hours later.
Yeah. That was, and like the first time we got to like the 12 hours later, I was like, yes, let's just get to it. And then we went back and I was sad.
I was too.
It was like, I was really sad because I prefer that part of the story rather than watching these. I have no idea. I can't count. Are they 17 women? watching these like 38 women be stuck in a cabin and be
making pancakes.
Yeah. Making like the pancake off was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I thought it was a sham that like, Monique's pancakes do not taste good but look good, and so they win. And I'm like, I don't know. No, the numbers don't add up to me. Right. I need a recount. But yeah, I would have loved to stay in the 12 hours later, but now we can wait for next week, I guess. So.
And I don't think in general Bravo should be allowed to do 2 weeks in a row of a to be continued. Like, we had one last week and then this week again, and it's just not okay.
That's what they do, though. That's what they do best. Well, I mean, like, that's how, I guess, they get you to tune back in. I mean, I'm going to tune back in anyway because I enjoy mess and I enjoy drama because it makes me feel better about my own, you know, personal life. So I'm going to watch anyway, Bravo. You don't have to do this to us.
I know. And look, I like the pancake off and whatever else they were doing, the fishing. What a Candace called Monique Jane the Jungle Ho. That made me laugh a lot. But I like all that stuff. But then when I'm teased with this whole storyline with Michael, that's all I'm thinking about then. So, like, I don't want to deal with all the other stuff.
Well, now I'm also feeling like, so next week, the guys actually come. They all come. And so, like, is this thing, and, like, already Candace was feeling weird sitting next to Ashley during this whole thing. And when she was like, yeah, Michael went out with the boys last night, the way she like threw her that look and tried not to look, like, it was, I think that Monique is going to, no, it's Candace. I think that Candace is going to implode at some point, especially while the guys are here. And if I have to wait another week to see that, then sure.
Right. Can we talk, speaking of the guys, can we talk about Monique's husband? I'm not liking him this season at all. I mean, she sort of implied a few things. This week she said, you know, he says things to her and she sort of puts him in a box and buries him down. And it just made me so sad because I love Monique and I don't like the way he's treating her.
Yeah. And she did say that, like, I mean, she also implied she's getting tired of it by saying that soon the box is going to fall and I'm going to have a big mess to clean up. Yeah, I think she has four kids with him.
Like you, I only remember the bird. I know she has a lot of kids, but
28 kids she has, and a bird, and a husband, and it's a you know, and she's got like that. I feel like, was it last week when she was getting ready to go to the lake house, and you see all the things she has to do all day, and it's like she's, and also she has that mommy blog. What is it called? It's called something.
Not for Lazy Moms.
Yeah, that's shady.
I know. It's I know.
That's so shady. But she's got a lot of stuff to do. And yeah, he just seems like he honestly seems like a dad. Like, he's not unlike a dad I had that, like, you know, let my mom do everything and take care of everything. I have two cats. My boyfriend and I do everything. It's just unfortunate, but you know what? That's a lie. I do everything for the cats because I want them to like me more because he's the fun dad, but he does do a lot. He kind of does more than Monique's husband does.
I mean, he couldn't even do the barbecue.
Yeah, he didn't. Okay. Yeah, it seemed like he didn't want to, but like also, I don't think that he realized how important it was for Monique. I don't think he realized how important it was for her because, I mean, like, it could be editing, but it made it seem like it was really important for her that he actually barbecue, but she also did not make that clear.
Right.
It seems to be like, it seemed like the bottom line everywhere all up in, you know, through this is a lack of communication. Like even with Karen and her husband, who like won't say I love you.
Oh my God, Gabby, when they hung up the phone, I think she said I love you and he just said, okay, bye, or something like that. It was like very weird. Yeah, it made me so sad.
Yeah. And she was like, I miss you. And he was like, oh, okay. Like,
okay.
Cool. That's on you. Like that kind of thing. And just but when she was like working out, I think in the first episode where it sounds like she was having sex in the weekend and she's not having sex. She's just like training.
They love to do that trick to us, don't they?
I never believe them though. No. You're not getting me with that, Bravo, you liars. But she was talking, she said to him, like, I just want you to say those three words. And what is going on? Like, why?
I don't know. It broke my heart. It broke my heart to see Ray. And then even at the party, her homecoming / circus medieval themed party that was supposed to be about her and Ray, he just went to sleep. And I appreciate that. I go to sleep at a party at a certain point too, but you know, it just bummed me out.
Like at your own party?
Yeah, I can make it to like 9 o'clock and then I'm ready for bed.
Same. I get cranky if I'm not. The cats look at us like we're crazy if we're not in bed by 8:30.
Right.
That's what I'm to expect. But like that also is very. So the thing about like, so I understand like editing, and I understand like I kind of understand like the producer's job in all of this and these shows and like, you know, shooting and what your event is going to be. Like every single one of them, it looks like has to have an event, whether it's like the opening of like an envelope or like, you know, a baby christening, housewarming baby party or something.
Wait, you said you watch Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Do you remember when? Well, no, I was thinking about when NeNe threw that. It was like girls and gays barbecue. What was that?
Yeah. Was it was that like also a crazy. Like a pajama party at the same time where they had to wear lingerie or something.
That sounds right.
Parties, yeah. I'm pretty sure the same thing with these trips that everybody goes on. I'm pretty sure that that's just the formula of every season, and you know, including this. You know, Karen has to have an event, and her event is going to be this housewarming party, and it feels like Ray is, you know, kind of old enough and also just like a little done, like more, he seems done to be like, that's Karen's business for Karen's job.
Right.
All of this is her party. I'm going to bed, which I respect.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I just worry about them. I want everything to be good with them.
I think that when you do this, I don't think anyone would ever ask me to do a reality show. But I think that when you let reality into your life like this, at some point the reality becomes other than that.
Right.
You know, everything becomes fictional. And I think that it takes a toll. Absolutely, it takes a toll on every single relationship that you have, not just in your marriage, but also, you know, with your parents and with your husband's parents, like in the case of, you know, Monique and all of that. It's just, it's kind of a thing that happens, and it's unfortunate, but like maybe don't let vampires into your house.
There you go.
But do, because I'm entertained by it.
I know we need to watch it. But so you would never do a reality show?
Oh no. Yeah. I don't like people in my house.
Right.
Like all of the other stuff, like no, I don't want to. I don't think my life is interesting enough to like be on TV, and I also don't want the reality of who I am to get in the way of like my actual job, which is to be an actor. And so like I feel like if you know too much about me outside, then you won't believe, you know, anything I say on a screen someplace. But the bottom line really is that I don't like people in my house.
Right. So. There's like a famous interview Whoopi Goldberg did where she says, like, I don't want to get married. I don't want anyone in my house. And it's just, I agree. I agree.
I get that too.
So when they were fishing, Ashley actually opened up about postpartum depression. And I always appreciate when anyone opens up about mental health, whether it be on a reality show or anywhere. So I was really happy that she only sort of dipped her toe. They had like a brief conversation about it, but I hope we kind of learn a little bit more because I feel bad for Ashley too. It seems like she's going through a lot with Michael, a lot with her own mental health. And I never even cared for Ashley, but this season I'm like feeling bad for her.
Yeah, I like Ashley. I think she's interesting. I think her like pageanty past is interesting. I think that her like ability to sing about interracial loves or her want to do so is very interesting.
And her confidence about her broken booty hole. She's telling us a lot about that.
Yeah, like that she's full wide open, but like I think that that happened to me, I would never shut up about it.
No.
I would be like, it'd be like, can you hand me that like remote? And I'd be like, no, my asshole is open. Like, you'd be like, you know what I mean? Like, do you understand what happened to me? Do you know what happened to my asshole? Like, you know what I mean? I would never tell me about it. It's a very big deal. It doesn't look like, I mean, just from this last episode with, you know, Mr. Darby getting caught out there having allegedly have said that he's got a boyfriend and a wife, which, by the way, I think that if he's telling people at the club that he's got a boyfriend and a wife, I bet the boyfriend and the wife both know.
Right. I 100% think Ashley knows, and she's just maybe not willing to be open with us about it yet. Mm-hmm. Because even the way she defended him last season, I got the impression that they are just not like being completely open with the audience, but that they're open with each other.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying about like reality shows. It's like, I don't think you really can pick and choose the things that you let out about right. your life and the things that you choose, you know, to keep private. I don't think it really works like that. I think something's going to be found out.
It all comes to the surface. And it's interesting. Bravo has been on all of their shows, breaking the fourth wall a little bit more and more every season.
Yeah.
And so I just think like, in the beginning, probably like the early seasons of all of these shows, the women probably thought if something happened, they could get it hidden or it wouldn't show, or they were able to manipulate maybe production a little bit, but now they can't.
I mean, like even on Beverly Hills, whenever Denise is in a situation where she feels like it's, you know, like it's her private life coming up, she says, bravo, 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 which I guess now we know is the code for this is, I don't want to be filmed anymore. Or like, I need a break. It's bravo, 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 I guess. So maybe they should change it. But yeah.
Bravo, bravo, fucking bravo.
Yeah, she meant it. Okay. But they're breaking the fourth wall quite a bit. And I think, and I wonder how much that has to do with just like, the fact that a lot of times, like, we find out about this stuff in the blogs and stuff way before the season begins. Like, we already know that Candace and Monique got it popping. Like, we already know that they got into a full-ass fist fight. We know that. I think it's Candace. I know for
sure. Yeah, Candace and Monique, yeah.
Figured. So, we already know about that. And so, I bet in the editing, they just have to break the fourth wall a lot of ways, just, you know, to make it make sense to us.
Right.
You know, we already know.
Right. Yeah. I am loving it. I think these shows do need to evolve and we know the formula so much already that I'm excited about the fact that they're doing it. Where do you stand with all the Denise stuff on Beverly Hills?
I think that, I don't know. You know, it's actually really hard to talk about these housewives. I was on Watch What Happens Live and I said something that like later I felt so bad. I said something about Portia, insinuating that she was not very smart. And I think about it all the time.
Oh my God. Don't think about it.
But I feel bad. I never want to make anyone like feel horrible. Like people are just like all the time, I'm just sitting here. And then all of a sudden, some of you will say some shit about me on TV. And I'm like, I was just sitting here. Like, why did you do it? I don't know you. Like, you feel like I would never want someone else to feel that way. However, and I feel so, so bad. I think about it all the time. With Denise.
Well, we love Portia, you know, and the people, they evolve and we feel differently in 5 minutes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
What were you going to say about Denise?
I think absolutely some stuff went down and she did not think it would make it to air. And it did. I think she's like strangely much more prudish this season than she was before. And it's probably because she was like all out there talking about like how big her man's dick is. And,
big dick Aaron.
You know, yeah, big dick ass Aaron. And, you know, talking about the massage parlor and like making good a handy J and all that stuff. And she probably regrets that, which I understand. Like, again, I said something about Portia 3 years ago and I feel terrible about it and I want to like retract that, and it just seems like she's kind of trying to retract her actual personality,
right?
Now it just doesn't work. Like, we already saw that, like we already see and we know you as that, and now you're coming in as like Sister Mary Catherine. But also if you don't want people to find out about the stuff that you do, either don't do it or don't tell nobody, or right. Do it with somebody you can trust. And I don't like, Brandy is great, and Brandy is great television because Brandy is brutally honest and might say anything. And as a wild card, maybe don't fuck the wild card.
Right.
During the time that you're on, like you're both on a reality show. Maybe yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I think, I don't know. I bet you, I would imagine Denise didn't think the season was going to play out the way it did. I bet you even up until it started airing, she maybe thought, well, some of this won't air or it'll be taken out. And Bravo, I don't know if they just snapped or what happened there, but they just decided we're not going to edit this stuff out.
I mean, it really does seem like there is some sort of... maybe it's contractual, but it seems like there's at least a conversation between, you know, the cast members and the producers of the show that's like, listen, this is what I'm willing to talk about. This is what I'm willing to have be the event. This is what I'm willing to go through for you on television. And these are the lines I won't cross. And I bet she said that at some point. Maybe she had that conversation. This is not the line to cross. This will remain private. And they just couldn't do it. They couldn't. Because again, that all came out in the blogs a while ago. And so imagine if the whole, that season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills happened and there was no mention of it at all, we'd be very confused. And it would sort of raise more questions and it might be more blurry and obvious if they didn't talk about it.
You know, I read something and I don't know if it's true, but I read that on Atlanta, they're currently filming the season and they were asked to not post anything on social media or something like that. What I read was that they're trying to keep storylines hidden a bit more because now everything does appear in the blogs. So I don't know if that's true, but.
That would make sense. But like, it's not like we found out stuff that wasn't posted. On Instagram or on the socials, like we found out stuff because somehow especially if they get to fighting at a restaurant, those restaurant employees will say something. Like it'll just if you start doing drama in public places, then that will get out. And I did hear that they were filming and that they've been filming for like 2 months.
Yeah,
and I just don't know how they're doing it. And the air is poison.
Did you see the Orange County? You don't watch Orange County, or you know, the Orange County trailer just came out and they filmed, I think, like half of it in the pandemic. And literally one of the cast members and her family were going to see them get COVID on the show.
Oh,
and it's like a lot. I'm like, I don't know. I'm sort of over Orange County in general anyway, but I don't imagine that I could watch these people like getting coronavirus on TV. It's like so much.
COVID is extreme. It's scary. COVID is very, very scary. Although when it started to look like this was going to be the quarantine and all this stuff was going to be more than just like a month long thing. Now I think we're looking at 2022. But at the beginning, I thought it was going to be fine. And now I started worrying about all the shows that I like. And all the like, how are they going to do? Like, how is, like, I'm obsessed with 90 Day Fiance. And I'm like, how are you possibly going to do 90 Day Fiance? Especially when, like, I think the American passport is, like, not really worth it right now.
Right. You can't get in and out. Yeah.
Yeah, no, nobody wants us. We've got,
right.
We've essentially got the chicken pox or bed bugs. But it seems like some shows are pressing on, and as scared as I am for, you know, the crew and the cast of those shows, God bless those soldiers.
I know. Essential workers, really.
Yeah.
I worry about the crew because I feel like they can't always like speak up, and you know, everyone needs money right now because, of course, people are struggling. And so oftentimes I think people have to take a job and maybe they don't necessarily feel safe doing so. I don't know.
Yeah, these are very, very strange times. And it's actually just like not wise to turn down a job, even if it's about your health. And it's sort of like a catch-22 that, you know, it's just horrible. And it's a bad decision that some people need to make. But crew members at least get to put on masks. Like, I just directed something 2 Saturdays ago, and it was like a PSA, and we could only have 20 people in the building in total. So we had a very, very small crew, and everyone in the crew wore a mask. But also to get on set, every one of us had to show negative test results. Right. And so we're, you know, and the only people that didn't wear masks, you know, for the entire time that we were there were the actors. So I'm hoping no one got sick, and you know, it's just a scary new way of doing everything. So
Gabby, was that your first time directing, or have you directed before?
Oh no, I've directed, I directed a short film. That's an adaptation of a Nina Simone song called The Four Women.
Amazing.
The short is called The Tale of Four. And then I, directed a few episodes, 2 episodes of Empire, and then I just did 2 PSAs like 2 weeks ago for.
And obviously you like it then. What would be your like sort of dream project to direct?
I just directed on a green screen for the first time, and I want to direct something that has like a lot of action and a lot of like special effects. Like I think, I've never gotten to do it, but I imagine the directors were having so much fun on American Horror Story because of all the like all the special effects and like the deaths and like all the things you have, like even as an actor, like I got shot a bunch once, like a bunch, like everywhere. And they had to put like packs on me, and I slit my throat open too. And so they had to like connect a thing to my neck and put like a graft of my skin over that. And then the thing had like a pipe going down my clothes and like across the room to a foot pump. And then they would pump blood out of my neck. Like it was
oh
like,
my God.
It's so great. So that I want to direct something like that, where it sort of involves a lot of like, you know, a lot of magic.
Right. I want to ask you some more career questions, but real quick, I just want to finish up Potomac. We end the episode with Candace of Court.
Potomac.
We end with Candace getting that text about the strip club that Michael was at. And they all go out to dinner, and they end on it to be continued. Also at that dinner, I just got to say, I think it was Ashley was wearing a very insane zipper dress. It was just zippers everywhere. Just noticed that.
They all were dressed completely insane. Every single one of them, especially for where they were going. They just look, although I always think all the housewives look crazy all the time. Mm-hmm. And also like, why do they have to have brunch and lunch and dinner so many goddamn times? My God. Ugh,
well, and what? I love it. Yeah. On Beverly Hills, it's so funny when Denise shows up somewhere like dressed appropriately, but we look at her like, what the fuck are you wearing, Denise? And it's like, she's just dressed normal.
Yeah, this is a barbecue. It's weird that you have a Givenchy lingerie and like a crown on. Like, that's weird. Like, you have a cake. Why? Yeah.
Why? What are you doing?
We're the bar, bitch. Like, what are we doing? And also, is that the dinner where we learned that Ashley has been eating the spicy mustard that's been coming out of the lobster's ass crack?
Right. And the look she had on her face when she found that out. I mean, she was shook. She was shook.
My mom told me it was a mustard, a natural mustard. Now, I know genius. However, or like mustard genius. I'm not a mustard aficionado. However, is like a natural mustard a thing? Does that sound like what if you walked upon natural ketchup?
I think, isn't there a mustard seed? I'm not, I hate mustard, so I'm probably a bad person to ask too. I think there's a mustard seed, but maybe I'm making that up and people are yelling at me.
That's how it happens. It's a mustard seed. I assume that eventually you get enough seeds and that will make mustard, but you got to do stuff to it, no? Like you got to cut it, maybe add some water, I don't know, something to it.
Between the two of us, one of us should know how this works, but oh well. It is what it is.
Well, that makes three of us. So I also did not understand that. Well, yeah, gross.
They also have that conversation about athletes. And I wonder, where do you stand on dating athletes? Because Robin said, you know, athletes need to be coddled quite a bit. And she said Juan only sort of got out of that mentality because he got broke.
Yeah. I find that men need to be coddled.
Ugh, I know. Right.
Like in general, like I've never dated an athlete. I've never dated an athlete. I don't have a hole for that. But I feel like men in general need to be, like, as someone who has like a brother and a dad and like has met a man, men need to be cuddled. They all come right. Like that.
Right. It's exhausting.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Okay, next week the men arrive, and that's where we're at. It was so fun talking Potomac with you. Now I want to ask you some career questions that I'm super excited about. My first and foremost, my number one, like, you know how every gay man has like a number one diva. My number one is Mariah Carey. Like, I worship the ground she walks on. Mm-hmm. And I ask every guest I ask what their favorite Mariah song is. And you famously worked with her in Precious.
I did.
So number one, what's your favorite Mariah song?
I really think it's Breakdown. I love so many Mariah songs. What is it? And I gotta shake you off.
Shake it off.
But yeah, I love, that's like a great breakup song that I was perpetually like in a breakup. And I love that song, but Breakdown is my favorite song, I think, of hers ever, because Breakdown, if you know the lyrics, it's 1 million lyrics. Like, it's like there's so many words in that song, and she does it in the cadence that is so fast. It, like, a lot of people don't know the words to it because it's like Bone Thugs and Harmony. And Bone Thugs and Harmony was incredible, like, when that song came out, and they were like a big deal. And I really love that Mariah is like, I'll give you a version of the song, but then I'm gonna go to the hood. And I'm gonna make a version of the song for me and my homies. And that was like, but there was no non-hood version of Breakdown. And so it felt like it was full Mariah to me. And it's just a beautiful song. And I also get it. I think I might have been like junior high at the time, junior high or early high school. And yeah, it just like speaks to me, like pretending that I'm okay, that you don't like me anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'm not okay. I'm gonna go home and cry once you're, you know, gone. I love
you're out of here. Yeah, and I mean, also she gives us vocals too. I mean, talk about the lyrics are coming so quickly, and she's still able to give us those vocals, which, I mean, she's just the best. Were you able, on the set of Precious, were you able to even like kind of talk about music stuff, or were you guys both just sort of in your zone?
I guess we talked about, well, the first time I met her was at like a rehearsal at the director's house. And then she like offered to drive me home. By drive me home, I mean her chauffeur was going to drop her off first and then drive her home. And she actually let me listen to her album, and it was like months before anybody, I think she had just finished it. And she, I think I was like one of the first people to hear Touch My Body.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And she like asked me her opinion, like my opinion on like what the next single should be. And I voted for a song that wasn't the next single, but like, she was like, I think it should be this one too. It was a song, I think it was Migrate.
Migrate's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember her saying, she's like, I want that to be the next single because like, it's a good song. And also no woman has done a duet with T-Pain yet. I'm the first one, and I need to come out so that I can be the first one. And I was like, and so she's like, she, you know, she's like a genius. Like, it's really interesting talking to her because like, at some point you do forget that it's Mariah Carey, and you're just like listening to a woman talk about what she does for a living and her business. And also like, she, I like being around singers that love singing. Like, she loves to sing. Like, she does it. Like, she probably would do it for free. Don't ask her to. But don't you dare.
I wouldn't dare.
She sings all the time. Any excuse to sing, she'll do it. And it's just really, really great to watch someone who is flourishing at something that just makes them happy.
Right. And I mean, her writing skills too. I think, you know, people, when they think of her, a lot of people just think of like sort of the diva personality. But she's written all of those hits, that all those number ones that she has. And I'm just so impressed by her talent. And I often feel like it gets overlooked because of the persona that she has. So I just love her.
Yeah.
You know, that the verses, I was watching the Brandy and Monica, of course, and everyone was saying, you know, who could Mariah go up against? And I was like, I don't think Mariah could go up against anyone. I mean, like, she has so many hits. I think it'd be impossible.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe the closest would be maybe Janet.
Yeah. Could you imagine that? Oh my God, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I would be torn. Like, I guess Beyonce has a ton of hits also. Maybe Beyonce. I don't know. It's hard to, like, the weird thing is, like, I don't know who can be a contender against Mariah, and I don't know who could be a contender against Beyonce or Janet. It's these things tear me apart.
Right, I know.
They stress me out. I don't even watch them. I wait till the memes roll in, and then I watch it. Like, I
The Brandy and Monica one was so good, but it was like 3 hours or so. It was very long, and I loved every second of it, but it was long. But I loved it. Okay. I loved you on Difficult People and The Big C. I watched both of those. I was devastated when Difficult People, wasn't given a fourth season. It was just so fucking funny. You must have enjoyed working on that.
I did. It's, you know, Julie Klausner is a genius, and so is Billy Eichner and Derek and everyone, and Cole and Shekina. Everyone I got to work with on that show is really, really incredible. What's weird is that I had to shoot it at the same time as Empire. And so I would shoot Empire in Chicago and then like get on a plane to New York and shoot maybe like 2 or 3 episodes at a time and then go back. And it was like kind of stressful on the body, but it was really, really fun work. It was so much fun. Yeah. I was sad it didn't get a fourth season too.
The writing on that was just like a pop culture lover's dream because there were so many just references, and I've always loved pop culture. So it was just to me, a perfect show.
Yeah. It felt like a perfect show to me too, because I got all the references and because I'm of all those references in a way. Like, I'm, you know, I'm from New York. I was born in 1983 and pop culture is like my birthright. Mm-hmm. And I love all of it. And I was such a huge fan of the writing. It really was very good. And it does feel like a pop culture lover's dream. Right. Yeah. It's like walking in the museum of the 90s kind of.
Right. Talking about writing your book, I just finished it, and I thought it was so impressive how you opened up about so many serious things. Because I'm always impressed, like I said, when people talk about mental health, you opened up about some of your eating struggles, and it was just so beautiful. And were you nervous at all to talk about that stuff? Because it doesn't come natural to most people to be able to be so open. And I think you said in the book that you were comfortable talking about it. I forget the language you used, but have you always been comfortable being open like that?
I don't know. No, for a long time. I mean, like, I'm from Brooklyn, originally grew up in Harlem, and like, you know, the schools I went to were a little rough, you know, maybe. And also just like being a child anywhere, like with the most money in the best schools with the best parents, like it's kind of hard to be a child because your brain isn't fully formed. And so for a long portion of my life, I believe that if I was too open about the things that I struggle with or things that hurt my feelings, that they could be used against me. And so every now and then I still have a little bit of that. I mean, it's not that I have kind of secondhand that. I don't have that anymore. But like if I ever see anyone else like sharing stuff that I think could be potential, oh, maybe don't. Like it gets, like I get a little nervous about it. But yeah, with the book, I did share quite a bit. I remember someone asking me, you were so open in the book. Like, God, you shared everything. Like, oh, what does it feel like to be so empty of things? And I was like, I'm not. I shared the things I wanted to. There's still plenty. Like, right. It's a, what is it, a 300-something page book, and I'm 38. I kept some of the things that, like, again, like, see, with a book, you can control it. With TV, you can't really control it. I still control the things about my life and the things that are in the crevices of the deep, dark, you know, corners of my mind and my my self-esteem and my emotions. I still keep those to myself. And even the stuff that's out, I'm still working on those things. Like I'm still working on like body issues and issues of self-worth and issues of like, you know, love and growing up and being a person and all of these things and beauty and all, you know, all of these and finding your voice. I don't still struggle with them. I still work on them though, because it does take, mental health is not something that you can just be like, I got it, you know, and walk away into the fucking sunset like you're Julia Roberts or something. That's just not how it happens. It's like, I always, it's kind of like makeup where you just like have to keep reapplying. You have to keep reapplying. And there are days where the makeup does not work for you. Just gotta wait till the day where it does again, you know.
With my depression, I always think of it as normally it's like a part-time job that I have to keep up to kind of make sure that I'm able to go about my day. And then other times it's a full-time job where I'm literally, I feel like I'm spending so much time just trying to keep my head above water. And you know, it changes. But
I think it won't be like that forever though. Like I bet it won't feel like, and you're right, it is always a bit of a job. Like I have reconciled with myself that that depression will always, you know, be a part of my journey and my life, and that it will sort of fluctuate in size. And even though the world feels like it's on fire, and it, you know, everything is wrong. Even, you know, the new conversation around Black Lives Matter and people asking me, so what do you think? Like, I haven't been Black my whole goddamn life. Like, I haven't been, you know, like, this is a new thing. Like, it's kind of annoying and it's a lot, but there are so many things coursing through my emotions and coursing through like my psyche at all times. And it's still, my mental health and working on it is still a very small part of my day for now. There might be times where it's bigger, you know, where it is the full-time job, but it's, but like also it's going to be there forever. It's always going to be something I'm going to have to work on and work through. And I'm willing to do it. You know, I'm willing to do it. I'll never be in a place where I can't see the light through the darkness, hopefully. Because the second I start to get to the too dark place, I employ all of like
all the resources.
Yes, all of my resources. Like I adopt a cat if I need to, which is how I got my first cat. It started getting a little dark, and I just needed some new thing in my life, and that was my cat Aaron. And so I know what to do when things start to get dim. And I can only hope and pray, and I'm pretty sure I will always have the strength and the ability to find the light. Or if I can't find it, find someone that can help me find the light. Like, I love my therapist. Everybody needs therapy. Right.
I was just going to ask you if there's someone out there listening who maybe it's just now coming to terms with the fact that maybe they're having some anxiety issues, depression issues, some sort of mental health issues. Like, what would you tell them? I mean, I guess seeing a therapist or talking to a professional is very important if you have the resources.
Yeah, it's okay to like, should I say this? it's okay to feel like you are failing yourself and that you're just failing. And it's okay to, like, if you need to admit that to yourself, that you're not in a great place in order to go get help, then that's what you need to do. Like, I don't necessarily believe that you need to hit rock bottom in order to, like, you know, climb your way up. But it's, I think it really starts with admitting to yourself that there's a problem. Right. Admitting that, like, oh, I don't have, because also, like, there's this idea that, like, I, like, did some interview about something and they were like, so what's it like to play a strong character? Like, you strong character. And I'm like, what, who are the weak characters out here? Like, I don't think they exist. Like, they certainly don't really exist in media. They might exist in real life, but, like, it's really hard to admit that you might be weak right now. And that's what keeps people from going and getting help. And, you know, you try to do everything on your own. And also you just try to keep secrets because you don't want the way people look at you to change. But, like, everyone can see. Like, I, like, long before I was, like, when I told my friend, my best friend at the time, I was like, so I was, you know, diagnosed with depression. And she was like, bitch, duh. Like, you've been depressed. She's like, right. I've known you 7 years and you've been depressed for 8. Like, you've never not known. Everyone, you know, people can tell. And on top of that, like, don't worry about people. Like, at this point, you are the entire, because you're your own universe. Like, the entire world is about you. You, if you feel like your universe is off kilter, you have to go figure out how to get it back on. And you can't really heal yourself if you're sick.
Right.
You know, it's not a cold. You can't just take NyQuil.
Right. I worry about people right now because so many people are locked up and home alone and alone with their thoughts. And I worry because before I was able to recognize in myself that I had depression, I wasn't sure how to deal with it. And so I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I worry about people right now in this time in 2020.
Yeah.
You know,
now is a very, very hard time because, like, the world has slowed down and everyone's routine is off kilter. Like, even if you're an essential worker and you still, you know, go to your job every day, it's off kilter. It's strange now. The hours are different. Like, the mask, like, the interactions are very, very different. And it's really, really easy to say no. You're like, no, I'm not going to deal with this. It's, you know, because everything's a little quiet and there's no distractions from yourself. Like, even TV is about to be bad, but, like, there's no distraction. And so I worry about people too. I also I worry about who I could have been during this. I know it's like, I'm obsessed with myself, but like, you know, this time 2 years ago, if this had happened 2 years ago, I don't know if I would have been able to make it out of this. I have no idea. Now, wow. I have, like, and I just, and so my heart does go out to people who are alone through this or who, like, and, like, also you can absolutely be in a relationship, like, have a whole ass husband and children and grandchildren and still feel like you're alone.
Oh, yeah.
Completely alone. And so maybe I hope that instead of there no longer being a reason for you to maybe, I don't know, be alive or try or shower or any of the things that come along with depression, then maybe it's this is an opportunity to find something that you love, find something that fills you, find family in a way, because, like, a lot of us are home alone, you know, a lot of us are. And there's time now. There's time. I hope that people, instead of going to the darker side, take this as an opportunity to build themselves, to build new character traits, to build new skills, build, you know, or just sit and really, really learn yourself, find your own voice, you know?
Yeah.
I really wish that for people, but I know that it's a very, very hard time. And I say, like, if I didn't have my boyfriend, if I didn't, you know, I don't, which I didn't 2 years ago, like, this would be a very, very different kind of situation. But I still also would be talking to, I'd probably talk to my therapist more. Like, the second I start feeling things are slipping, I go ahead and I get it fixed. Because I also know how many people are depending on my sanity, you know, not just me. I'm depending on them. Absolutely. I need to be healthy for myself first. But also, I need to keep the train running for the people that I love and the people that I know love me, you know? Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. Gabby, I could talk to you forever. I'm sorry that I've kept you so long. I'm looking at the clock.
I haven't
noticed. tell people about Antebellum. Your Antebellum comes out, I think, in a week or, is it a week or two?
September 18th.
That's so exciting. So it's with you, Janelle Monáe. Tell people about the movie.
Okay. So it's kind of hard to explain because it's got a lot of like secret pockets, but it's a thriller and it is, I saw it and it's so fun and so good and so terrifying. And it's really going to, it's like one of those things where you just like kind of will sit on the edge of your seat watching the entire time. It feels like, but oddly, it feels like three different movies at the same time. Like Janelle appears on one side of the movie and I'm in a different side of the movie entirely. And it's, also it's beautifully shot. Bush Renz, Gerard Bush and Christopher Renz, who are the directors and writers of, like, the plot for the film came through a dream. It was a dream that Gerard had, and he and his partner, Christopher, they sat down and they wrote it. They wrote it as a short story, and then it birthed the film. And it's such a gorgeous goddamn, it's so good. I want people to watch it, but I also, like, it's hard to explain what it's about. But it's a thriller, and you'll like it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of clips from it. My boyfriend was doing some of the motion graphics for the advertising, and so I've seen so many of the clips, and it's beautifully shot. Beautifully.
Oh, that's fun. He's doing the graphics. Okay, cool.
Like all the he does like motion graphics for the advertising, so like stuff for social media and stuff like that.
Yeah. No idea. Like my boyfriend is like the biggest fan of the movie somehow. Like he's not seen it yet, but he's super pumped and like posts about it kind of a lot. And he found the GIF in Instagram. That's like me being like, thank you so much, Rebecca. And like, he posted it before I knew it was, and I was like, how did you get this? Are you magic? And he's like, it's on Instagram.
He was probably doing it. You know?
Yeah.
Well, Gabby, I also want to encourage everyone to pick up your book. It's so good. You go into deeper issues like we talked about, but also it's really funny too. There's a lot of laughs that I had while I was reading it. And I love a celebrity memoir. I loved it. I loved it.
Thank you.
This was such
not very celebrity. Like it's mostly about my like real life and my, the dumb things that I have to do where I'm like dropped into weird celebrity, but like, I'm glad that people like it, especially because it's pretty dark.
It is dark, but I like that sort of stuff. I mean, I was into it. And there's some laughs too. You were talking about being photographed on the precious red carpet between Paula Patton and Mariah Carey, which is a nightmare for any human.
because Mariah also does not pay attention to the casual theme of any night. Like, it was like, I swear to God, I asked over and over again. First of all, I don't have a stylist and I'm in France. Like, I'm here. Hello. I bought all my clothes at Torrid. Like, I don't know what's happening. And I'm like, do I have to dress? Like, no, it's casual. Don't worry. Cool. It's casual. So I'm going to put on these ugly brown clogs because I can't wear heels yet. And this like dumb dress and these like pants, I guess, these shorts, because it's casual. And Mariah's wearing a ball gown. She's wearing a gold ball gown at 11 a.m. So,
and they're like, get next to each other. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
One last question I ask every guest is, if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
Oh my God.
You can't choose your boyfriend either. It's got to be like a celeb.
A celebrity? Damn. I don't find celebrities attractive. I mean, I do. You know what? Actually, I'm going to take the chance to honor myself at 11 years old and say Ryder Strong.
Ah, Boy Meets World, of course. You know, you're
Malcolm Hunter for People's Most Beautiful.
I think, you know, I had Jillian Bell on the show and I think she told me Ryder Strong too, which is so bizarre that, you know, but I get it. Boy Meets World. I mean, we were all obsessed.
Yeah, he was hot and he's the best player in the world. So,
right.
Yeah.
Gabby, thank you so much. This was such a delight. Where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram at Gabby3Shabby. That's G-A-B-B-Y, the number 3-S-H-A-B-B-Y. And on Twitter, I'm guessing I'm at Gabby City Bay, but I could be wrong. I could
check. We'll be back later this week. Everyone goes watch Antebellum when it's on demand later this month. And Gabby, pick up her book. This was such a delight. I keep saying that, but this was so fun. Thank you, Gabby.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye. And Jill, we say hello to Jill too. Jill set this up for us. So thank you, Jill. We love you.
Jill is the most excited about this. So shout out to Jill, who also wants me to say that the name of my book is This Is Just My Face.
This Is Just My Face, yes.
This Is Just My Face by Gabby City Bay.
Would you recommend the audiobook or the...
I would recommend the audiobook because audiobook. It's me and I talk to you. And like there are moments when you think I'm going to cry. And I don't because I have a self-defense mechanism that makes me laugh.
I love you. Thank you so much, Abby. Gabby. I didn't mean to say Abby. Gabby. I'm nervous. Thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.